ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
But it seems like when you stand up for the things of God, the world comes at you. You know, just post something about, you know, the riots and all the destroying of buildings that took place for their protests, and you post something, you know, that's wrong. That's not even legal. They should be arrested. Oh, you just don't understand what they're going through. It doesn't matter. You mean when I have a bad day, I have the right to destroy property? No. But again, you start getting the feeling, what's the point? Why should I even say anything anymore? I'm just going to back away. And that's not a good thing. You know, think about plants. You know, you put the little seeds in the ground, right? And you water them, and there's nothing there. Well, what's up? I put the seeds in. It's been an hour. How long do I have to wait? Well, after a week or so, then this thing starts sprouting and growing. You keep watering. If you don't water, they're going to be in trouble. In due season, you'll reap. Don't lose heart. It's a battle. I hate to say it, this probably message is maybe not even for you. It's probably just personally for me. Because I've been struggling with this very issue. Lord, I've been doing this for 25 years. What impact have I had? And it was kind of like, you know, Eeyore, woe's me, you know, everything's bad, you know. And the Lord, this message, you know, and it just, I guess, spoke to my heart. So you'll get to listen in on what the Lord's showing me through all this. But it's a battle, no doubt. And we can't lose sight of what God said. Don't lose heart. In due season, you shall reap. Just continue on. Don't give up. You don't know the seeds that you're planting. It's not your responsibility to save anyone. It's God's. Our responsibility, though, is to sow the seeds. And let God water, or let someone else water, and then God bring forth the fruit. And I'll tell you what, if your Christian life is going to be based upon how other people treat you, or what they say about you, how they feel about you, you're going to be miserable. I'll tell you what, and that's really easy to say, but the reality is, because we're human beings and we have emotions, we like when people like us, don't we? And it really hurts when people don't like us. But what you have to do, and this is really hard, is you have to say, okay, Lord, you've called me to do this. I'm going to step out and do it. And if nobody says anything or they come against what I'm doing, I'm still going to do it because I know you will never leave me and forsake me. I mean, think about Paul. He's in prison, death row now, his second imprisonment in Rome. And he says, my first hearing, nobody was with me. Well, where was the church in Rome? I think they were fearful of Nero. We don't want to associate with Paul. Where was everybody else? They weren't there. Paul was by himself. And then he says, but the Lord was with me. Oh, everyone else forsook Paul, but the Lord didn't. Keep that in mind. And again, that's a hard one because just human nature, we want to be liked. We don't want people to be mad at us. It's just the way it is. And for Gideon and his men, all these things, you know, hot pursuit of the enemy, they're exhausted, they're tired as they're serving the Lord. But here's the awesome thing. Nothing was going to stop them from moving forward. Nothing was going to get in their way. Yeah, they were tired, but they kept moving forward. When I was younger and I ran a marathon, I'll tell you what, those last 6 miles, it was horrendous. I ran 20 miles. And I'm thinking, this is great. And then I hit the wall. I'm thinking, what am I doing? But I'm a stubborn guy. Please, Julie, don't comment on that. And I thought, I ran 20 miles. I'm not going to stop now. I only got 6 to go, 5 to go, 4 to go. But I pressed on because I wanted to get to the goal. And I think that's what God wants us to do. Don't give up. Yeah, it looks dark out there. It looks horrible out there. Don't give up. Press on. Pursue the enemy. The enemy may be, you know, a friend, a family member that is into drugs or alcohol that's destroying their lives. That's an enemy. And you want them to be saved. You want to rescue them. And so from pursuing the enemy, we get to our next point, which is a really difficult one. No help from the brethren. And you'll see what I mean as we read on. Look at Judges 8, starting in verse 5. Then he said to the men of Succoth, "Please give loaves of bread to the people who follow me, for they are exhausted, and I am pursuing Zeba and Zalmunna, kings of Midian." And the leaders of Succoth said, "Are the hands of Zeba and Zalmunna now in your hand, that we should give bread to your army?" So Gideon said, "For this cause, when the Lord has delivered Zeba and Zalmunna into my hand, then I will tear your flesh with the thorns of the wilderness and with briars." Then he went up from there to Penuel and spoke to them in the same way. And the men of Penuel answered him as the men of Succoth had answered him. So he also spoke to the men of Penuel, saying, "When I come back in peace, I will tear down this tower." These 300 men with Gideon are in pursuit of the 15,000 soldiers of the Midianites who escaped. They cross over the Jordan River. They come to Succoth and Gad, and they ask for food. I mean, these guys are exhausted. They're tired. They're hungry. They need some nourishment to continue on. And Gideon didn't ask the men of Succoth to come to battle for him. All he said is, "Can you help feed our guys? Give them some food. We're in the pursuit of the enemy." And they refused. Why? Because they weren't sure who was going to win this battle. And so just in case the Midianites would win, we don't want to side with a loser. So we're just going to be walk in the middle. And whoever wins, we'll go with them. And Gideon pronounces judgment on them. He knew that God had delivered the rest of the Midianites into their hands. And once they were victorious over the enemy, he's coming back and he will deal with the leaders of Succoth. Well, then he comes to Penuel. And once again, he asks for food for his men, and they responded the same way as the leaders in Succoth did. They refused because they didn't want to pick sides yet. Again, not knowing who was going to win. That had to be discouraging, right? I mean, this was family, and they didn't want to help out. And I think that happens with us. As we're serving the Lord, the resistance that sometimes we face with family and friends. And instead of helping us, they become a hindrance to what we're doing for the Lord. I, you know, recently saw this where, you know, we were, you know, putting on a program and someone was just like this Debbie Downer and just did not want to encourage at all in this work. And I thought, what's up with that? What do you just if you don't want to say any, if you don't want to encourage, then don't say anything. Don't be a discourager. You know, you may hear things like, you know, "Wow, you're just so dogmatic about your faith. Just have some kind of faith. Don't be a radical about what you believe." And yet we can, you know, cheer for football teams or whatever like crazy and be the world's greatest fanatics. But when it comes to our faith in Almighty God, the one who's given us life and created everything, don't be too fanatical about him. You really believe the Bible is the Word of God? Yeah, I know it contains some of the things of God, the things that I like. They would never say it that way. But come on, the whole thing, are you crazy? Jesus the only way? Oh, come on, God's a God of love. He loves everyone. He's not going to send anyone to hell. He doesn't. You go there by choice. He's done everything possible to save you. And you can go on and on. No, you're not qualified to do that. What kind of degree do you have or whatever? And again, we're not talking about unbelievers here, but of those that call themselves Christians, although they may not be, but some are, I believe. And I think that's what we see here with Gideon. This was family that wouldn't help him, discouraging them. "We're just going to sit on the fence on this one. We don't want to take any sides. Good luck in the battle. If you win, hey, we're for you. If you lose, we're for the Midianites." What kind of friend family is that? That's horrible. again, and I kind of use this little illustration, but think about it. As you're witnessing to others of Jesus, as you're serving the Lord, a brother or sister in the Lord comes up and says, you know, what is the use? What's the point anymore? The world is getting more corrupt. We've got the one world government. We've got the one world religion. We got all this stuff. The mark of the beast is almost here. Really, what is the use in doing anything anymore? People don't want to even hear about Jesus anymore. Let's just ride this out to the end. Really? Can you give me a Bible book, chapter and verse where it says, ride it out to the end, don't do anything? In fact, Jesus said, occupy till I come. Continue doing the work. I guarantee you, if Jesus said, I'm coming on July 29th, 2020 at 6 p.m., we would be partying and, you know, charging our credit cards and doing everything instead of what we're supposed to be doing, occupying until I come. He hasn't given us a date when he's coming for his church, the bride, his bride. So we continue on in the work. And yeah, there's going to be a lot of discouragement. And I realize for some people, this is scary stuff that we see. But understand this. The mission we have from the start of the church on Pentecost until today and continuing on until the Lord comes is to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. Well, isn't it supposed to be who we elect for president? No, it's really not. Isn't it about passing this law? No, it's really not. It's about bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. That's the key. You know, I realize people don't want to hear about Jesus. Think about the first century church. Think about the places they went to. I mean, Corinth was immoral, wicked, horrible. They were known for their immorality. I kind of think of Corinth, and it was probably worse than Las Vegas. It was just horrible. And yet the gospel message got in there, and lives were changed. Lives were transformed. How? What program did they use? How do you grow a church? It was the power of the Holy Spirit working through the believers' lives. It was as simple as that. There was no program. They didn't put on skits. They brought forth the Word of God. They shared the Word of God with people, and people were getting saved. And I think we're in an intense battle today, and I think we should be privileged, honored in the days we're living in, because if this is the generation that closes out church history, what a privilege that would be. It may not be. It can continue on. I'm not really sure how, because the way things are moving, I'm just shocked. I mean, I can't even keep up with Bible prophecy. You know, years ago, 30-plus years ago when I got saved, 35 years ago, I was Bible prophecy, you get a trickle here, a little bit there, here, every day. You hear leaders and what they're talking about. You see how nations are aligning themselves. I mean, you don't hear much about the Middle East and Russia anymore, do you? But they're there. They have a foothold in the Middle East. And it's Russia that comes down with their Muslim allies to attack Israel. Ezekiel 38 and 39. So there's a lot of stuff going on. Don't be discouraged and don't be a discourager. Because as far as I can tell, God is still on the throne. And there is no way you're going to take him off or anybody else. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So the reality is we should be excited how God is going to use us today. Paul in 2 Corinthians 7 verses 5 through 7 said this, and this was an encouragement. He said, "For indeed, when we came to Macedonia, our bodies had no rest. But we were troubled on every side. Outside were conflicts, inside were fears. Nevertheless, God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us by the coming of Titus, and not only by his coming, but also by the consolation with which he was comforted in you. When he told us of your earnest desire, your mourning, your zeal for me, so that I rejoiced even more." You know, Paul, make no mistake about it, he was beaten, overwhelmed, some fear in the work he was doing. But God comforted Paul. How? By sending Titus. Titus was an encourager. And when he saw Titus and he heard Titus, he said, you know, those guys in Corinth, they do love you. I realize that first letter that you wrote to the Corinthians, yeah, that was a tough one. I understand that. But there's many believers in Corinth who really, really do love you. And what did that do for Paul? It encouraged him. It just brought great comfort to him. Paul in 1 Thessalonians 5:11 said, therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. I like how the Amplified Bible puts it. Therefore, encourage, admonish, exhort one another and edify. Strengthen and build up one another, just as you are doing. That's what we're called to do. You know, how encouraging it is to have someone alongside to help you along. Like I've told you before, I do a lot of running. And running by yourself, you know, is okay, but it's much better to run with other people. And, you know, a couple of weeks ago I ran with Tony. And we had a great time. We ran along the lakefront, went from his house to the lakefront and around the lake a little bit and then back. But we encouraged each other. We pushed each other along the way. And isn't that what we do? As we fellowship together and we encourage each other and we start praying for each other, that is so important. In fact, Paul said in Hebrews 10:24-25, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. What day is he talking about? The day of the Lord. As that day is coming. And the rapture of the church is coming. It's going to get more intense, and you guys better fellowship and stir each other up, because it's going to get a lot harder out there. True friends are so important. One of the verses, when I was a supervisor at a hospital in Chicago, what I would put on, until they told me I couldn't do it anymore, but I would put on their evaluation forms, Proverbs 17:17. They said, well, what does it say? I said, get your Bible. Go look at it and see what it says. And Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loves at all times and a brother is born for adversity. True friends are going to love you no matter what. Fair weather friends will come and go. True friends are going to hang in there even when things are tough. They're by your side to encourage you, to help you to move forward. These leaders in Sukkoth and Penuel, they weren't true friends. They were fair weather friends. They didn't encourage or refresh their brethren. And my prayer is, Lord, help me to be an encourager, to help people in their walk with the Lord, to just encourage them to move forward. That no matter how difficult the situation may be, just keep your eyes on the Lord and walk. So we've seen here, no help from the brethren. And that leads us to our next point, never surrender, never give up. I don't know if that's Buzz Lightyear's or what, but I kind of think it is, but it just fit. Look at verse 10. Now, Ziba and Zalmunna were at Karkor, and their armies with them, about 15,000 men, all who were left of all the army of the people of the east. For 120,000 men who drew the sword had fallen. Then Gideon went up by the road of those who dwell in tents on the east of Nobah and Jogbeth, and he attacked the army while the camp felt secure. When Ziba and Zalmunna fled, he pursued them, and he took the two kings of Midian, Ziba and Zalmunna, and routed the whole army. So again, here's an important lesson for us. Gideon and his men didn't give up. And like I said, never surrender, never give up. God called him to do a work. And it was almost finished, wasn't it? But it wasn't completely finished. They didn't stop 3/4 of a way or, you know, 9/10 of the way. They finished the work that God had called them to do. The enemy was going to be destroyed. That tells me that Gideon had faith in what God had promised him. The victory against the Midianites. God was going to bring it to pass as long as Gideon was going to walk by faith. Paul in Philippians 3, verses 12 through 14, said, not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended,
But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Press on. We get overwhelmed at times. It's tough. You know, what's the use again? Nothing's changing. There's nothing goes different. I'm just going to stop. And the enemy's messing with our minds. I've told you this before. If I was not absolutely 100% sure that God had called me into the ministry, I would have been gone long ago. All the things, you know, friends who, you know, were really close to me who just turned from me. That's hard. But the thing is, God said, I will never forsake you. Emotionally, it's very devastating. And you guys know that as well. You've experienced that. But when you know your calling, you know what God has called you to do. Nothing's going to move you from the course that God has set. You know, that's what Paul told the Ephesian elders at Miletus before he was going to Jerusalem, right? And wherever he went, they said, Paul, don't go to Jerusalem. It's going to be tough there. You're going to be in trouble. Don't go there. And Paul said, none of these things move me. I know what God has called me to do. I know where I'm supposed to go. I know it's going to be tough. But God needed to get Paul to Jerusalem to get him on a free trip to Rome on a prisoner ship. It's probably not the ideal way to go, but that's how God did it. It's easy when things are overwhelming in our lives. But I look at some of the things in the past. Winston Churchill, he gave this, and I'm only going to read one part of the speech. And he said this. He said to these students that he was speaking to, never give in, never give in, never, 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 never. In nothing, great or small, large or petty, never give in except to convictions of honor and good sense. Never yield to force. Never yield to the apparently overwhelming might of the enemy. When Germany was fighting against them and things looked overwhelming to them, like there was no way out, Churchill never gave up. He forged ahead. And that's what we have to do. You know, we look at, again, our nation and, you know, we think, how are we going to make a difference? I'm just one person or there's a few of us or, you know, the church is not doing what it's supposed to be doing. Hey, God doesn't need a lot of people. He had 300 men against 135,000, 300. And they didn't even have swords with them, I don't think, when they went first into battle because the Midianites were killing each other, remember? A trumpet in one hand, a little bowl in another with a torch in it. And when Gideon blew the trumpet, they were to blow their trumpets, break the little container, bring the torch out, and it would just explode into a bright light. And the Midianites saw it, and they were just confused. They thought they were surrounded, and they started killing each other. Never give in. Never give up. Trust in the Lord. You never surrender because God is on our side. I think it's so important for us, especially in the days that we're living in. Can we have an impact? And I think we have to start in, you know, our Jerusalem, in our homes, with our family, with our friends. Then moving out a little bit, our neighbors or our coworkers. And then what about moving out even further, supporting missionaries? Or maybe God's calling you to go forward and be a missionary. You see, we can make a difference. Do you realize that when a sinner becomes a saint, when someone comes to saving faith, the angels are rejoicing in heaven? How cool is that? I mean, think about it. They're rejoicing. So should we. That's an exciting thing. And we'll see rebellion defeated. That's our next point. Look at verse 13 here in Judges chapter 8. Then Gideon, the son of Joash, returned from battle, from the ascents of hares, and he caught a young man of the men of Succoth and interrogated him. And he wrote down for him the leaders of Succoth and its elders, 77 men. Then he came to the men of Succoth and said, "Here are Ziba and Zalmunna, about whom you ridiculed me, saying, 'Are the hands of Ziba and Zalmunna now in your hand, that we should give bread to your weary men?' And he took the elders of the city and the thorns of the wilderness and briars, and with them he taught the men of Succoth. Then he tore down the tower of Penuel and killed the men of the city." So after Gideon finishes his defeat of the Midianites, he goes back to the cities that refused to help him and his men, giving them food to eat as they were hungry from this battle. And Gideon warned him. He said, "Well, after I defeat the enemy, not might, but after I do, I'm going to be back to punish you guys."
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion, won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.